Hello. Thank you for listening to the sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allows you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Much better. Good to see each of you here. We're glad that you've come to worship our great God. We've sung a few songs, and we'll actually finish with a few songs as well. Because today we're going to talk about the tongue. So if you have your Bibles, if you would open them up to James chapter 3 as we continue our series through this great letter that James penned. James chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 through 12 today as we look and think about speech producing. Okay, how do we produce the kind of speech that honors God, that brings Him glory? And so we want to look at James chapter 3. What we'll do is we'll read these verses, and then we'll have a time of prayer and just ask God to come and work in our hearts and our lives, and then we'll go back and kind of walk through that word by word and dig in and see how we can apply this. And so let's do that. If you have your Bibles there, you have them open, James chapter 3, it'll also be up on the screen for you. Let's go ahead and dig in. We're going to read this. You can follow along there as I read it, and then we'll have a word of prayer. James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a small, very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set amongst our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're thankful for Your word. Thank You that we can open it up and the freedom and the great blessing of being in this country, Lord. We pray now for those who are serving to keep us safe, Lord, that You would protect and watch over them. I think of our people who are serving in the military. I think of our first responders who serve here locally. Lord, thank You for those men and women who have given of their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms and the safety that we have. May You bless them and bless their families today. Lord, thank You for each one that's here today, and I pray that Your Spirit would move in our midst today. Help us to be mindful of what You're trying to tell us, and may we walk out of here changed and different because we've met with You today, because Your Spirit has moved us, and we've been willing to be obedient to what You're telling us. And so, Lord, help us to be mindful of all that You want us to hear today. May we be hearers and doers of Your word. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, a good passage today, right? Just makes you feel all warm and snuggly, doesn't it? Yeah? Just like the weather outside, right? It is great to have Cameron back. And Cameron and his sister are here, and we've missed you, Cameron, and we're glad that you're here this morning with us. This is not one of those passages that is like, rah-rah, woo-hoo, we go out of here feeling warm and cozy. And in fact, James doesn't have a whole lot in his letter that makes you feel warm and cozy, all right? And so from a pastor's perspective, especially in our culture today, to try to make something make you feel warm and cozy when you walk out of here, that's not my objective. My objective is to preach the Word of God. And so if you walk out of here today not feeling real good or confident in who you are, you shouldn't feel confident in who you are, but you can grasp and you can hold on to the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the one who we can hold on to. Reading this morning in the Word and just came across that verse, we are more than conquerors. And we've sung that song, but it just hit me today, more than conquerors through Him who loves us. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be conquerors. And so as we come to the Word, this passage this morning, James is going to make it very clear, there's not one of us who doesn't struggle with this. All right? When we talk about our tongue, we talk about speaking and talking, we all struggle. And so I feel inadequate to be able to stand up here and to preach to you this morning. Why? Because I'm a failure at this too. Just as you probably can think of times where maybe you got upset at somebody and you said something that you shouldn't have said, or you gossiped and said something about somebody. Our tongues can be so wicked. In this passage, we're going to see James takes it to the worst, and when he uses the terms that he uses. And yet, as Christ followers, we want to live lives in such a way that honors God, that brings God glory through the way that we live, but also through our speech. And I think it's interesting that when we look at the context, again, in the midst of what James is writing about, I still believe this is in the context of trials and hardships of a people who are under a lot of stress and under a lot that they can't control. And he is saying, listen, you know the truth. I've told you, I've reminded you of how to live it, and you need to not just be hearers. You've heard the Word. You are going to continue to hear it, but to be doers of it. And that not only in through our actions, but now James is going to go even deeper, and he's going to say, listen, it isn't just about doing it, it's how we speak as well. It's how we talk to one another. And so he begins and he says in the very beginning, not many of you should be teachers. I would love to say, hey, I won't be a teacher anymore. I remember reading this in college, in Bible college. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be a teacher. Maybe I shouldn't be a preacher. There's a seriousness here of those of us who God has called as teachers, as preachers, because of what we say. There's a fear that we should have when we teach this and preach this. This is God's Word. This is serious. And so James is reminding them, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged by greater strictness. For those of you who sometimes want me to be judged more, just know God's going to judge me, all right? I got it coming, all right? And yeah, that's something that we all, I think, will be accountable for. And how we use our tongue here, but those of us who are teachers, man, let us be serious. Every time we bring the Word, let us not become callous or lackadaisical. This is critical as we present it and share it. Verse 2, he says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. I was looking for this word perfect, and it's the picture of this perfect man is kind of like a pirate's telescope. And as the pirate's telescope, as he starts with it, he starts with it all in. And as he takes it out, he's able to see the completion. All right? And that's what James is writing here, that this is reaching the end, this word of perfection, that if we can not stumble in what we say, if we can learn to try to grasp and allow God to refine our speaking, it's like that end of that telescope where we can catch the vision of the finished product. And yet we all stumble. And so sometimes my telescope isn't pulled out all the way, and it's blurry. But the goal is, again, reaching for that so that we can see clearly what we need to look like, what God desires. The writer, James, is going to now then give us three descriptions of our tongue. And in this, he allows us to be able to kind of wrap our minds around, why is it so significant when we look at our tongue that we work on bridling it, when we work on controlling it, that it is so, why is it so critical that we examine and look at our tongue? And he's gonna share it here. So the first picture that he gives us is in verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. One of the great things about summer camp, our campers go down to Skyview and they ride horses, right, girls? You ride the horses. And so, Lila, would you do me a favor? Would you just stand up for a second? So Lila, this is Lila Evans. And Lila, when you ride a horse, how big is that horse? Would you just kind of show us like that big? Like, how tall does it stand? Can you just like put your leg over it and get on it? How big is that horse when you go to climb up on it? Is it like, it's taller than you. So maybe put your hand up here. Okay. All right. So it's like this and like this, right? My picture is this. Thanks, Lila. I appreciate you standing up. The picture is this. Here is a huge beast, okay? And a little girl like Lila can climb up on top of this big horse and control it where she wants it by putting a little bit in its mouth. Just a little thing that big beast can be controlled. What a picture, right? What a picture. Here's a little girl, and you're growing, you're getting bigger, okay? But here's this big beast, and she can control it all because of what is in the horse's mouth. James then goes on, and he says in verse 4, look at the ships also. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. He doesn't just say small. He says very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So you have this big beast of a ship, all right? And nowadays you have these big motors and everything else. But it's this small rudder that's in the back that allows it to go wherever you want it to go. I remember being a camper up at Camp Patmos off of Kelly's Island, and I know the Adams girls have been up there. And one of the cool things that we got to do is we got to take out these little sunfish sailboats. They were just like two people sailboats. And one day, my brother went out, and one of his buddies, and I'm thankful I wasn't on that boat with him, but they kept going. All right, and it was a beautiful day, and they were out there on Lake Erie and sailing with this little ship. This boat was probably not much bigger than this table, and they just kept sailing and sailing, and pretty soon they got so far away that they went and got the speedboat and went and got them. And I remember asking my brother, like, what's wrong? What happened? He's like, well, we just kept going. And I'm like, why didn't you use the rudder? He's like, we tried, but it wouldn't turn. So the next day we went out, my brother and I, and so of course my older brother and me being the younger brother didn't want it showed up, but we were out there sailing, and as we turned that, using that rudder, we were able to navigate and move that little sailboat wherever we wanted. It is amazing as we think about a big ship, a big cargo ship that's holding millions of pounds of cargo, that it's controlled by something that is so small in comparison to that huge ship. And that's what James is trying to help us to picture. Our tongues inside of our mouths, they're not that big. And yet, when we look at a comparison to our body, there is a distinct connection here that he's talking about with the horse and the bit and the ship and the rudder. Now he's going to look at this, verse 5. And so he says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." So here's our picture: the horse and the bit, the ship and the rudder, the body and our tongue. These are little, but they can do great things. He continues and he says this: "How great a force." So now he's going to give us several pictures now of how something can be used for good, but it can also be used as something not good. And so here we have: a great forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And for those of you who have been camping before, you know that probably that there are signs, and Smokey Bear has always been one of those commercials that only you can prevent forest fires. And usually there's a sign as you're going into the campground that will say, what's the likelihood of a forest fire? And so they have this little color chart that you can look at. And so knowing that, you have to be extremely careful when it's on red. Sometimes they don't even allow you to have a little campfire because it could spread so easily. That's what James is saying. Hey, a whole forest fire, and we've seen this in the news. We've heard about this. Who out west, especially when the conditions are so dry, just a little spark or just a lightning strike can start a huge blaze where thousands and millions of acres are destroyed by just something so little and so small. It could be a lightning strike, or it could even just be a little cigarette bud that was thrown out the window. Isn't it amazing that such a forest fire could be started with just something so little? Maybe even something innocent. Think about that as our speech. Something said so little and innocent, but yet could cause such great destruction. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. This is the good part, right? The tongue is set amongst our members, staining the whole body and setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. We'll come back to some of this. Let me first talk about the staining. And if you have your Bible there and you're able, just flip back a couple pages to the book of Jude. Jude is right before Revelation. So you have Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and then you have Jude, and then the book of Revelation. And Jude, there's just one chapter, but I want to look at verses 17 through 23. Because in our James text, it talks about how the tongue is set amongst our members, and it stains, or it's staining the whole body. This word staining, it's also used here in this text in Jude. And I think it gives us a good picture of what can happen when staining takes place. So Jude, verse 17 through 23, says, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." What's interesting, this this terminology here of staining, and in this text, it is the undermost garment that is stained because it is clean. It is clear up to the body. And so he's saying, listen, don't allow the world to stain you as you're helping and serving other people. Don't let even the innermost part of your garment to be stained. And when we compare that and look at what James is saying here about staining the whole body, here is your tongue and it's set inside and it stains. It has an effect on every other part of your body and who you are. And when you look at that as the body of Christ, as Paul talks about that a lot in Corinthians, about the body and how the body functions, we as Christ followers, who is the tongue? Well, there are times that maybe we all want to be the tongue because we want to say something or we want to have our opinion shared or our thoughts. We have to be so careful because, listen, the tongue is able to stain the whole body and it sets on fire the entire course of life. This phrase, course of life, really comes from a picture of a wheel. And that this is a wheel, and as that wheel goes, so it is whatever it is carrying. This is the wheel of life, and as we go, the tongue, it sets on fire where we've started, and the whole course of our life can change. Just as that wheel goes around, our lives can be changed by what we say and how we use our tongue. You've seen it. You've probably heard it. Maybe you've walked through that. It's set on fire by hell. This is probably the most graphic description that James is saying in this passage. Because this term here is a term called Gehenna. And this is a term that is so visual, would have been so visual for the Jews. Because this was somewhere outside of the walls of Jerusalem where it was called a place that burned all the time. It was a fire that burned because they threw all their trash and they threw all their garbage and all their stuff. But it also was a place where pagan worship, where these pagan religious people would say, if you want to honor the gods, then you'll sacrifice your baby. And where they would throw innocent lives and babies into this place of fire. Torture. Our tongues are set on fire by hell. The lake of fire. This is the description of where Satan and his workers and those who reject Christ will spend eternity. Our tongues are set on fire like this. Should we be weary? Should we be concerned? Should we be alert? Yes, we need to be. This is not something that we just take lightly and we just say, hey, that was a good sermon. This applies to all of us, and James is making it very clear, this is serious. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature. Has he left anything out? No. He's, again, pretty descriptive here. Okay, so all of creation can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. I don't think he's saying that to discourage us. I think it is a fact and a statement that he shares with us to be alert and be on guard. We constantly have to be on guard about this item that is in our mouths, that are part of our body, that can do great and destructive things, but can also do great and uplifting things. Because he continues, and he says this in verse 9. So even though the tongue can be a restless evil and it's full of deadly poison, verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father. And yet with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. This is a reference back to the very beginning, just as he was doing when he was talking about, I believe, the taming of the animals. This is the reference back to Genesis 1:26, because he uses that course of life. That term life is the word Genesis. And now he here says, again, referencing it back to Genesis, you who were made in the likeness of God. We talk about one another, and we at times talk about those who do mean things or bad things, and we talk about them as they're the enemy or as they're awful, bad people. And there are evil people. But if they are a human being, they are made in the likeness of God. And so how can we sit here and stand here and praise God today and say, God, you are wonderful and you are awesome and you are almighty and you are great. And we need to do that. We need to lift our voices to God, but we also need to be mindful and be respectful that God created every human being and placed them here on this earth. And we need to see them as God sees them. They are made just like you and I in the likeness of God. And they are not the enemy. The enemy is Satan. Do we have to be best buddies? That's not what James is saying. You curse them. You talk evil of them. You knew the saying was going to come, right? Mom said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. You've heard that before, right? Right? If you haven't, your mom will now tell you. Listen, it is so clear to us what we need to do and how we need to go about controlling our tongue. But why do we fail? Because our tongues are set on fire by hell. James continues and he says in verse 10, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. That's the ninth time in this letter that James has said brothers, brothers and sisters. He says it three times in this text that we're looking at today. James is addressing them as family. And as family, this is something critical that James is saying we need to work on. Let me encourage you, West Hill, that whether you're visiting or whether you're here with us all the time, this is something that we as Christ followers, we've got to get under control. And we've got to ask the Lord for help. Because we cannot be people who speak of the goodness of God and yet speak evil of other people. We can't do it. It has destroyed the church and it continues to destroy the church. And while we may feel that we are justified in tearing down other people, we cannot do it. And we need to ask the Lord's help. Verse 11 gives us the last couple descriptions here, comparing the blessing and the cursing. He said, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? No. You're going to get one or the other. Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? No. What do you get from a fig tree? Okay, thank you. All right, here's another question. Or a grapevine produce figs? What do grapevines produce? Can a salt pond yield fresh water? What does a salt pond produce? You see what what's happening here, right? He's asking questions that, come on, it's obvious. So why do we think that we can honor God and we can bless God with our tongue in certain times and in certain places, but then we're gonna tear down and we're gonna attack other people? No, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I want to give you 6 opportunities that I think will help us in attempting to tame the tongue. The first is this: I think we need to read and study God's Word. If you're serious about getting your tongue under control, these are 6 areas that I think will help you. Number one, read and study God's Word. Don't just read it, you need to study it. And you need to be in it. Because what is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword? It's this Word, God's Word. And it's able to pierce us beyond just the outward to get into the inward heart. It convicts us, it shows us, it helps us read and study the Word. If you're too busy for the opportunity to read it, then you're too busy. There's no excuse. I am utterly amazed in myself at times when I'm like, yeah, I didn't have time to read God's Word today. Really, Aaron? And so I've tried to build it into my life, that habit. And I've encouraged you, the first 20, we've called it the first top 20. Take the first 20 minutes of your day and incorporate the study of God's Word and what number 2 is here, praying. You need to pray. We need to talk to God. And when I'm talking about praying, I want to tell you this. I think that we need to get in the habit of praying out loud. Some of you I've talked to about doing that, and you've talked about how you're driving on your way to work, and you just are talking to God. And anymore, it doesn't even look that strange. Why? Because people have these things in their ear. They're talking on their phone all the time. And so you won't even look that much weirder than anybody else. Pray out loud. Use your tongue to communicate with God. Use it to talk to Him, to listen to what He has to say in response as we read and study His Word and as we spend purposeful time talking to Him. How is it that we can talk to a lot of other people, but we can't talk to the one who created us? Spend time with Him. He loves you more than anything. He wants to hear from you, and He wants to speak to you. Number 3, memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture. This is a hard one, and I probably get the most excuses on this. Well, Pastor, my memory isn't so good anymore. Yeah. Sorry, God, my mind just wasn't as good. I could remember these other things, but I just couldn't remember your Word. We don't spend time doing it. There's a great app, and I'm not trying to advertise an app, just called Bible Memory. And it's something that Pastor David, in his last class that he was taking, he came across because he was needing to memorize some different verses. And so this app is great for me because I was sitting at the dentist's office, and it popped up as a reminder, hey, you need to review this verse. And so there I am, sitting at the dentist's office, reviewing the verse, which is cool. Every day, it allows me to remember, and I get to plug in there whatever verses that I want. Every month, we give you a Bible verse to memorize that we as a church can be working on together as we learn God's Word. We've got to memorize it because when we're in the midst of this battle and this fight, what's going to help us? The Spirit of God using His Word that's in our mind and in our hearts. When you go through trials and hardships, just as the people here are going through trials and hardships, the thing that James continues to bring them back to are the truths that they know. He reminds them that the truths that they've been taught and that they've been shown, live them out. We've got to memorize God's Word. We can memorize the scores. We can memorize the players. My wife always gives me a hard time. She's like, how do you know that stuff? I don't know. Just is there. Because I'm intent, I'm focused. God's word has to be that for us. Number four, you need deeper relationships. We all need deeper relationships. Deeper relationships in the fact that there are people in our life that we can give the authority to speak into our lives. That as they hear us speak, they call us on the carpet. My wife does that for me. I have others in my life who do that. You need that. We cannot live life effectively and victoriously without deeper relationships of people who call us on the carpet in a gracious and merciful way, but loving us enough to say, hey, Aaron, I just want to bring this to your attention. Do you have people in your life who can do that with the way that you talk? We need that. We have to have that. That's the body of Christ. Because without it, that little rudder, that little bit, we're going adrift. We're running wild. Number five, let me encourage you with this. I'm a firm believer that what you put in comes out. And I've told my kids this to the point that they're sick, especially my older two. They're sick of me talking about it. It has to do with music. It has to do with what they're listening to. What do you listen to? What social media, what music, what are you putting in? Because whatever you put in is going to come out. And so if you want to speak well, then put in Christian, good, wholesome, great music. Listen to sermons. We have at our fingertips more than any other generation an opportunity to listen to great, godly, wonderful things. Why would we not want to do that? Fill our minds with good, helpful, wholesome things. You say, well, I'm a teenager and, you know, my friends know all those songs and I've got to know those songs because I want to be cool. Knowing those songs and singing those songs doesn't make you any cooler. I'm not cool. I don't know those songs. Say, well, exactly, Pastor Aaron. Let me encourage you, young people, let me encourage you. One day when you look back at your life and this stage and this time, will you say that God, that you made choices and decisions that were best for you in your relationship with God, or were other people more important to you? The approval of other people. Let me encourage you, if you make decisions to follow Jesus and if you make decisions that are going to help you in your walk and your growth, you will never regret that. Ever. I've never regretted not listening to all those other crazy songs. Do I know some of them? Yeah. Especially the 90s song. Why? Because that was a time where I was struggling and I wasn't walking with God. So let me tell you clearly, in a time where I wasn't walking with God, I was listening to worldly music and listening to worldly things and watching worldly shows and movies and having that influence on my life. So how do I think that I will be victorious in taming my tongue or walking with Jesus or showing Christ to others while I'm doing that? I'm not saying that you need to go and have a CD burning time or a DVD burning time. All I'm saying is examine your heart. Examine what you're listening to, because what you put into has an effect on your heart and on your tongue. A true, real effect. What are you listening to? Number six is this. Speak kindness and mercy. Get in the habit of speaking kind words. Say, well, I just don't talk a lot. You don't have to talk a lot. Whatever you talk then, may it be words of kindness, of respect and mercy. Because this is what I think. I think we have an opportunity. I look at it this way. There are two things that we need to do as we speak that we need to think of. This first one is this. Am I bringing life as I say this? Am I life enriching? Now, again, we can't produce life. We know that life comes from God and Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him. He gives us eternal life. But we have that, and we want others to experience that. And so doing, our speech needs to bring life. It enriches life. It doesn't tear down. The second is this. Is my speech a fresh breeze? Does it bring freshness? Life and freshness. Or does it bring destruction and bitterness? You and I have an opportunity. You haven't been saying a whole lot here, but you're going to have an opportunity in just a few moments that you're going to use your tongue. And you're going to use it this week. I pray and I hope my passion and my desire as we look at this passage, as we walk out of here today, that we'll think about how we can use our tongues. We have to be purposeful and intent, but how can I use my tongue to bring life and freshness to somebody else? When you get mad, when you get upset, when things don't turn out your way, when you're underneath an enormous amount of stress, is your speech going to bring life and freshness? I won't ask for you to raise your hands, but I'll raise mine and say, my tongue wasn't used for all of that this week. That's why I told you I feel inadequate to be able to preach this. Because there's times with even in my own family that I fail. And it's one thing that I have been purposeful, that I am the same man that lives at my house as I am who stands on this stage. I'm a failure in this aspect. And I'm sure you may be feeling that way too. Let's seek the Lord. Let's understand the gravity of this little thing that rests inside of our mouth. And let's ask God's help to bring life and freshness to the people that we interact with. We need that today, don't we? Our world needs that. There's no other people but the people who have been given life that can speak about life. Lord, help us to do that. Would you pray with me, Lord? There may be people here who are now struggling with, as they think about past conversations or past ways that they've used their tongue. And Lord, for those of us who are and have been failures, Lord, I pray that you would please forgive us. We fall short in so many ways and in so many areas, and this is a large area for us, even though it's just a small little tongue. Lord, it produces so much hurt, so much sorrow. It can divide so much. And so, Lord, I pray that if there are people here who need to seek forgiveness from you or from others, that they would be quick to do so. And I pray, Lord, that you would provide healing, forgiveness, your mercy would be evident. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be committed to not allow this little thing that rests in our mouth to control us, but to be purposeful in the days ahead, that we would seek you, seek your word, to seek the things that are going to help build us up. And Lord, that we would be purposeful as we talk and share with other people, that your Spirit would bring back to our mind these two simple words, life and freshness. May our speech be that, Lord. We can't do it without your help. So come and fill us, move us, help us to be the people that you want us to be. And may our speech be producing life and freshness. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.